Great song. Thank you very much. Bless my heart. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to be looking at a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. And I'm not going to get very deep theologically, but I do trust that this is a blessing to you. It's been a blessing to me as I've studied through it and thought through what to preach on today. And a good reminder of God's goodness and how we need to trust Him. Title of the message today, if you wanted to give it a title, is Trusting the Unseen Hand of God. And that's what we need to do. Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to start reading at verse 1. We're going to read through down through verse number 7. Proverbs 3, verse 1 down through verse 7. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much that you are a good God and a trustworthy God. Lord, we thank you that you are an omniscient God and you see all things. You know all things. You see well into the future. And Lord, you know what you have in store for us at every stage of our lives and in every stage of the life of this church. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be encouraged this morning by knowing that you're in charge of all things and it is just on us to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're all faced with seasons of uncertainty from time to time. Times when the path ahead seems unclear. There's even times in our lives where prayers seem to go unanswered. Life doesn't unfold the way we expected. A lot of different, if you've been around long, or even if you haven't, you know that this is a very true part of life. And it's because we're finite beings, right? We're mortals. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We got an idea. I mean, there are a few absolutes. The sun's going to rise, and it's going to set. And that's an absolute. What happens after the sunrise may not be an absolute, but we still have a good idea. We've got a schedule, you know. If you go to work, if you're not lucky enough to be retired, if you go to work every day, you get up, you get yourself dressed, and you go to work, right? When you're done with work, you get in the car and drive home, or in my case, you shut the computer off and go downstairs because I work from home. But there are some things that seem to be absolutes in life. But even the absolutes in life, like sunrise, sunset, all those things are governed by God. If God didn't want the sunrise, well, he wouldn't let the sun rise. But fortunately for us, he does. He's faithful to his promises, right? And for the history of all mankind, the sun has ruled the day and the moon has ruled the night. Some of the very first verses in the Bible of why he created the heavens and the earth. And you know, that being the case, we know that God is a God that can be trusted, right? He holds the world. You remember the old song from a long time? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. You heard that song before. Of course you did. You just sang it. It wasn't that unfamiliar, like, you know, the second song especially. I was like, whoa. You've heard that one. And he does have the whole world in his hands. He's got your life in his hands. He's the one that keeps your heart pumping. He keeps your brain thinking. Keeps your liver living. He is the one that just keeps everything under control. Amen. Why should we not trust him when there are times of uncertainty? You know, there's times of uncertainty in life. You talked about, who was it you said was in hospice care? No, you said it was in hospice care. We don't know what the future holds. God does. God, listen, I used to work in hospice care. I was an administrator of a hospice in Kansas City. I remember one day we got this urgent referral from a doctor that said, this lady's going to die tonight. She needs help. The family's freaking out. Please go help them. We went over to her house. I didn't go over. Actually, I did. I did that one. We went over with the nurse and everybody. They all got everything all set up. That lady lived for a year and a half. She didn't die that night. Guess who controls all that stuff? God. God does. God has everything under control. He has the strings that are on the inside of this piano under his control, the tightness of the strings that are in there. So when that hammer hits that string, it knows what note to play. God did that. God's the one that made it where that you, when you string a string tight enough, that you hit it just right and it's going to make a certain sound. It's going to make that same sound every time as long as it maintains that tightness. Guess what? God's got all kinds of stuff in control. God's got these lights that are up here. Yes, there's electricity pumping into them, but he's the one that has created the means for which that electricity, even though Thomas Edison supposedly invented the light bulb, he did. He didn't invent light. God did. God's the one that makes those light bulbs shine. God controls everything. And you know what? There's times of uncertainty in our lives. And we just need to be reminded that God controls everything. You know, your pastor resigned. That didn't take God by surprise. He knew all about it. Before even George Jancho was born, he knew that George Jancho was going to retire. He had a great ministry here. But he's not your pastor anymore. God will bless and control his church. Amen. God has just the right man in store for this church body to come in here and to teach and preach the gospel and to encourage us to fulfill the Great Commission and impact our neighborhoods for his good. God knows what's next. We don't. You don't. God knows what the future has for Northwood Baptist Church. So let's be reminded of this unshakable truth. God is not uncertain, even when we are. He's not surprised by this or any other transition in life. He already knows what the future holds for this church, and he is faithfully working out his perfect plan. Amen. What could potentially feel like a moment of instability is still firmly within the control of a sovereign God. Isn't that a great truth to be able to hang on to? In these moments, the temptation is to rely on what we can see, what we can control, and what we can understand. But Scripture says it a very different way. It is a deeper trust, not just trust in circumstances, not just trust in outcomes, but just to trust in God himself. What does it say here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7? We quote 3, 5, and 6 a lot, but verse 7, oh, that's a very important verse to make sure that you cover too. It says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Amen. Be not wise in thine own eyes. You know, God's given us wisdom, but it's God's wisdom, amen, not our wisdom. So what do we do? Trusting the unseen hand of God is a very important thing for us to do, but we need to realize five important truths, and that's what we're going to talk about. So if you're taking notes, we're going to talk about five important truths. The first truth that we want to talk about is, number one, God is always working even when we can't see. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Listen to that verse again. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. We want clarity, right? We want to be able to see and know exactly what's going on. We want the full picture. God doesn't reveal everything to us at once. Psalm 119, verse 105 says this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." He didn't say, "Your word is a 18,000 lumen halogen lantern that tells you everything that you can see a pimple on the backside of a donkey a mile away." He didn't say that. He says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet." He tells us what we need to know to make the next right decision, to take the next step, and the next step, and the next step. God tells us exactly what we need to know to make the right decision, because each decision builds on itself, right? You make a decision today, it's going to affect what happens the next day, and the next day, and the next day. That's why it's so important for us to be in good fellowship with the Lord, to be able to make the decision. So when the pulpit committee meets later today, and you talk through ideas or whatever it is you're going to talk about, seek God's wisdom in order to bring the right person. It's, you know, finding a pastor is a heady thing, right? It's not something to just rush into and just find the next available guy, right? It's got to be the right person. And you have to seek wisdom from the Lord in order to make that happen. God is always working even when we can't see. Consider Joseph. You know the story of Joseph. Joseph, all his brothers were jealous of him. They sold him into slavery and lied and told his dad that they found his bloody coat that was all torn up. And they just assumed, well, an animal must have got him. And Joseph and Jacob believed that. And for years and years and years and years, Jacob believed that his son had been killed by an animal. And he mourned the loss of Joseph. But what happened? In that time, he was betrayed by his brothers. Think of it from Joseph's perspective. He was betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, falsely accused, then imprisoned. None of it made sense to him. But you know what? He stayed faithful to the Lord. And in the end, when there was no one better qualified to be able to interpret the king's dream, the Pharaoh's dream, and to be able to predict what was about to happen, there Joseph was in the right place at the right time, and he saved not just the nation of Egypt, but the nation of Israel. Amen. And they migrated down to Egypt and lived for many years as in prosperity, and then, you know, the rest of the story. But in the context of Joseph, there was so much that just seemed to just completely had gone haywire in his life that was totally not what he thought his life was going to turn out to be. But God is always working, even when we can't see. What looked like chaos was actually divine orchestration. Just because you can't see what God's hand is doing, just because you can't see his hand, does not mean he's absent. He's working in ways that we cannot yet understand. So God's hand is always working, even when we can't see. Secondly, our responsibility is to not to understand, but to trust. Now, I about said it the wrong way. I almost said our responsibility is to not understand. You know, that's not what our responsibility is. We want to understand, but that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is not to understand, but to trust. We don't understand what God is doing, but we need to trust him. Proverbs 3, right here in this passage that we're concentrating on here, verse 5. Very first thing it says here, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now that's difficult. That last part's difficult because we want to be in control. Have you ever worked with a boss that's a micromanager? I have. And it ain't fun. You know, the boss tells you, okay, I need you to do this. So you go and you start doing, don't do it that way. Do it this way. Okay, boss. And then you start doing, you know what, do it that way. Like, why don't you just do it yourself, right? You know, you hired me to do a job, let me do my job, right? If you're a boss, don't be a micromanager. That's very frustrating as an employee. I'm a boss now. I have a team, and I give them general guidelines and help them and provide them the resources that they need, but I have determined I'm not going to be a micromanager. You know, when we where was I going with that? Brother, do you know where I was going with that? Because I can't remember. I chased a rabbit there for a minute. It's difficult for us to not lean on our own understanding. Because we think we know what's right and best at all times, right? God knows better than we do. It's difficult because our instinct is to analyze, to predict, to control. God never asked us to figure everything out. He just asked us to trust Him. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Even when we demand understanding before obedience, we place ourselves above God. Faith, however, says, if I don't understand, I will trust. Even if I don't understand, I will trust. That's what faith is. You know, there are students of certain theologians, one or the other, that have tried to figure God out. And they've even given a name to their line of thinking or their theological bent. We're not going to name names today. That's not what's important. But did you know that if you think you've got God all figured out because you've got it all figured out in your mind, you haven't got God figured out at all. There are theological systems, one or the other. Well, not just two. There's many different theological systems that they think they've got God figured out. You know, if you realize that if you've got God figured out, you don't need faith. Because if you've got God all figured out and you know exactly what God's going to do when and exactly what it means at the moment of salvation, this exact thing happens and this exact thing happens and blah, 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 and blah, blah. Where's faith in all that? We just need to believe. To trust and believe that God's got it under control. These are things for Him to know and for me to be marveled at when I see God work in action. Our responsibility is not to understand, but to trust. The third thing, peace comes from resting in God's control. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is Philippians chapter 4. Let's turn over there. Philippians chapter 4. The story of the Philippian church is a fascinating story. And we're not going to tell the whole story this morning for the sake of time. But suffice it to say that Paul had a very special relationship with the church at Philippi. It started with the Philippian jailer, if you remember the story. They were imprisoned in Philippi. An earthquake took place. The gates and the prison doors broke open. And the prison guard thought that all the prisoners had escaped, and he knew that if had they escaped, he would have been executed. And Paul said, no, 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 we're all here. And as a result of that encounter, he trusted Christ. He said, you know what? I need you to come to my house and tell my family about this. And that was the beginnings of the Philippian church. Very special relationship that Paul had with the church at Philippi. And in chapter 4, it starts, interestingly enough, it doesn't give us much details. Details aren't important. But it started with a little bit of a squabble that was happening on in the church. There was a couple people that weren't getting along with each other. Euodius and Syntyche. He says, I beseech you that you be of one mind. Just a gentle reminder. That's about all he said. And then he goes on and he says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And that was a transition into the next thing that he was going to tell them. He said in verse 5, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. It's a reminder that God is here at all times. No matter what's going on in life, at home, at church, at work, wherever, God is at hand. He's right here. Amen. He's just as near as the person sitting next to you. And in verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace comes from resting in God's control. Here in Philippians 4, 5, 6, 7, it talks about how, or Paul tells the Philippian church how that they are to put everything by prayer and supplication to God. Let God be the one to control things. He says here, first reminds him, God's right here next to you. Don't forget that. Be careful for nothing. In other words, it's an old way of saying, don't get so worked up about stuff. You know, we get anxious about things all the time, right? I do. I get anxious when I get in traffic and people are driving too slow in front of me. I'm sorry, but if you drive slow, stay in the right lane or out of my way, one way or the other. I get anxious about other things in life sometimes. So do you. Each one of us has our own anxieties and pet peeves, we'll call them. You know what? We need to give those things up to the Lord. Just say, you know what? This is not a big deal. Why am I so worked up over it? Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Instead of getting so worked up about things, turn it over to the Lord. Yes, there are times, depending on what it is that you're getting anxious about or getting worked up about, that there is some responsibility that we have to take on. Like, for example, if, you know, the grass needs mowed. You know, it's nothing to get anxious about. Oh, the grass needs mowed. I got to get anxious about it. No, you know, when you have the time, you go mow it, right? Or you get anxious about something, whatever it is. Sometimes there is responsibility, but we've got to turn our anxiety over to Him. Be anxious for nothing, or be careful for nothing, but with everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then here's the promise. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So notice this. Peace does not come from having all the answers. We want to know all the answers. Sometimes we think we have all the answers. But that's not where peace comes from. Peace comes from surrender. Surrendering the situation over to Him. Surrendering our lives over to God. You may not know what tomorrow holds, but you know, you can know who holds tomorrow. You remember we talked about the sun rising and the sun setting? Guess who does that? That's God. God holds tomorrow in His hands, not mine. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Stillness isn't inactivity. It's not just sitting around waiting for whatever happens to happen. That's kind of a fatalistic view of things. Stillness is confidence. It's resting on the assurance that God is in control. So God is always working even when we cannot see. Our responsibility is not to understand, but to trust. Peace comes from resting in God's control. Number four, trust is proven through obedience. Trust is proven through obedience. Trust isn't just a feeling. It's not. It's demonstrated through action. Trust is demonstrated through actively relying on God. Not just sitting back and doing nothing, right? The Bible has a lot to say about waiting on the Lord. For years, I thought that meant just, you know, you just sit back and let God do His thing. That's really not what it means. When you go to a restaurant, who is it that comes and takes the order and brings you your food, brings you your check? What do you call them? They're waiting. They're waiters. When they wait on you at the restaurant, They're actively working, or they better be, right? Or they're not going to get a very good tip. When we wait on the Lord, we are waiting for the Lord to give instruction, just like a diner at a restaurant gives instruction to their waiter and says, "Can I have grits and eggs? Can I have greens and beans?" Got a funny story about that. I went to Cracker Barrel about a week ago, and you know, Cracker Barrel's changed their menu. And one of my favorite things to order at Cracker Barrel has always been beans and greens. Anybody like turnip greens besides me? Oh, love turnip greens, especially when you have a pinto beans and cornbread. That's one of the best meals ever. So there used to be on the menu beans and greens, right? And so I wanted beans and greens. So I noticed that it wasn't listed on the menu as a menu item, beans and greens. I said, well, they'll know what it means when I order it. So I ordered it, and she looked at me funny. She goes, "Oh, well, we don't have rice." I'm like, "I don't need any rice. I just want beans and greens." Oh, okay. All right. Fine. That's fine. So they brought our meal. Jackie had this big, beautiful plate of food with some fried chicken and mashed potatoes or something on it. And they brought me a little side of turnip greens, like one of the little ones, little tiny side of turnip greens, and a little tiny side of green beans. I looked at the waiter. I'm like, "I didn't order that." He goes, "Well, you ordered beans and greens." I said, "Yes, beans and greens." Not, I mean, I said, "I want a big bowl of turnip greens and a big bowl of pinto beans and some cornbread." He goes, "Oh, okay." And so he took the little, two little things away and came back a little bit later with a bowl of pinto beans with a spoon in it and a bowl of turnip greens with a second spoon in it. And I said, "Well, can I get a plate?" And so then I put my greens on the plate, put the beans on the plate, put the cornbread right there, and had a nice meal. It was delicious. Well, that waiter wasn't, maybe I just didn't give him clear instruction. I thought they had clear instruction. I thought I was telling them what I wanted. They didn't understand it, and I don't think the kitchen understood either. Maybe I didn't give clear instructions. I don't know. But do you know that when we are waiting on the Lord, if we'll stop and listen, He will give us clear instruction to be able to make the next decision in life and the next step in life, where if we listen to Him, we don't show up with a little tiny side of turnip greens and a little tiny side of green beans and pinto. That didn't make sense. What were they thinking back in the kitchen? This guy must be crazy. What's he ordering this for? Well, if you ordered that, you probably are a little crazy. I don't know. But God gives clear instruction if we will listen. And when we're in tune with our Creator, we'll make the right decision and make the best decision that is going to fulfill His purpose and plan for our lives. James chapter 1 verse 22 says this: "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." It's not for us to just sit around and do nothing. We hear the word and we act on what we have heard. When God speaks through His word, through conviction, through guidance, through wise counsel from fellow believers, our role is not to debate, but to obey when it comes directly from Him. Consider Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. God told him to leave his country and to go to a land that He would show him. No map, no details, just a promise. What did Abraham do? He picked up and left. Abraham went. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8, when speaking of Abraham and what we can refer to as the great hall of faith chapter of the Bible, Hebrews 11 verse 8 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, he obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went." This is the essence of faith: obedience with full visibility. So trust is proven through obedience. Finally, number 5. God's plans are certain, even when life feels unstable. Life sometimes gets a little unstable sometimes, right? God's plans and God's truths are certain. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God is not improvising in your life. You're not just an experiment to him. He's not just improvising. He's not reacting to circumstance. He's a sovereign God, fully in control. Amen. Sometimes we mess up, but he never does. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Let's say it together. "And we know that all things work together for him, for good, to them that love God, for them who are called according to his purpose." And we know that all things work together for good. Isn't it nice to know that God's in control? Amen. Amen. When he says, "And we know that all things work together for good," who is that good for? It's good for us, but it's God goodness to us. Amen. We know that all things work. Listen, times in our lives get very confusing at times. I've lost my job before. I got laid off a few years ago. That was a very confusing time for me, because I have a responsibility to take care of my family, and my means to be able to do so was taken away just because the company was downsizing. God stayed in control. He met our needs. We never missed a meal. We never missed a mortgage payment. God took care of us. Even uncertainty is part of his plan. Not some things, not the easy things, all things. God is in control. God's plans are certain, even when life feels uncertain. So to kind of wrap things up, when life feels uncertain, these are the five truths. Remember that God is working even when you can't see it. Refuse to rely solely on your own understanding. Rest in the peace that comes from surrender. Prove your trust through obedience. Hold fast to the certainty of God's promises. God doesn't require full visibility. He just requires our full trust. Psalm 37, we'll end with this. "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Listen to that again. Psalm 37, 5. "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." You may not know how, you may not know when, but you can know this: God is faithful. Amen. So trust him. Obey him. Amen. Rest in him. Even in uncertainty, you are held by a certain God. One of the timeless truths that we can hang on forever is that God's love is sufficient to the worst sinner that has ever lived. Think back to the day of your salvation. When God saved you, he placed you in his family. And by placing you in his family, he gave you the promise of spending eternity with him. It's nothing that can be taken away. You can't give it away. It is not a possession. Our salvation is not a possession. It is a position with God. And that position is as literal children of God. That's something we can trust on and hang on, even when life gets at its most uncertain points ever, that he is our Savior and we will spend eternity with him. Period. End of sentence. Isn't that a great truth to hang on to? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for your love to us. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for your trustworthiness, where that we can hang our hat on the fact that you are a good God who loves us and will fulfill your purpose in our lives if we will but trust you. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with this church as they look for their next leader. Pray that you would give wisdom, that you would give give great confidence that you are in control of all things, and that you will bring the right leader to this church. I pray, Lord, that you would be with anyone here this morning who has a burden or a concern in their lives that needs to be turned over to you, Lord, I pray that you'd help them to be willing to do so. And Lord, if that burden that they need to turn over to you is their own salvation, I pray that today would be the day that they would be able to get that taken care of and place their faith and trust in Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to never forget these timeless truths. In Jesus' name, amen.